This is the United Nations in New York. I'm Deanne Penn. In today's program, participating in UN peacekeeping, a positive thing for China, says a top official with the army, and handmade dolls share dreams of Syrian women and children with the world. But first, a bulletin of news from Jocelyn Sambira.
Despite global efforts, civilians continue to bear the brunt of conflict around the world, the UN Secretary General said to the Security Council on Thursday in his statement delivered during an open debate on the protection of civilians. Antonio Guterres recalled the countless horrific stories he heard during his tenure as High Commissioner for Refugees from women, men and boys who fled for their lives. Their suffering is incalculable, he said, as is the wasted human potential they represent. Ana Carmo has more.
Attacks against humanitarian workers and supplies continue in areas of conflict, the Secretary General warned in his address to the Security Council on Thursday. He deplored the deliberate denial of access to aid by warring parties and increasing abuse of bureaucratic restrictions in conflict zones. People suffering is pushed to unbearable limits when they are deprived of food and health care in sieges that can last months, or in some cases years, he said. A nod to the situation in cities like Aleppo, Syria, Juba in South Sudan and Mosul in Iraq. These cities have become death traps, Mr. Guterres noted, while calling out the ongoing destruction of houses, schools, hospitals and markets in these areas.
Attacks on hospitals and medical staff and the removal of medical supplies from humanitarian convoys are symptoms of a continued grave disregard for international law and the protection of civilians.
Ana Carmo, United Nations.
Fewer people are dying from natural disasters and hazards, but the economic losses are escalating, Amina Mohammed, the deputy UN chief, said. Some 6,000 participants are attending the Global Platform for Disaster Risk Reduction, a biannual gathering on reducing disaster risk and building the resilience of communities and nations, taking place in Cancun, Mexico. Ms. Mohammed began her address on Thursday by giving special recognition to Kiribati, the Central Pacific Island nation living on the edge and the front line of the reality of climate change.
Many countries, the likelihood of mega disasters has greatly diminished thanks to stronger institutions, robust legislation and policy frameworks, better preparedness, improving early warning systems, and a greater understanding of disaster risk, increased engagement with civil society, and much more accountability.
A lot remains to be done in terms of reducing disaster risks, particularly in low- and middle-income countries. Disasters are costing the global economy $520 billion and pushing 26 million people into poverty, she warned. More children are braving the central Mediterranean route to reach Italy, which means that more children are literally dying to get there, the deputy executive director for the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, Justin Forsyth, said on Thursday. At least 200 children have died crossing the Mediterranean so far this year, according to UNICEF's latest estimates. The updated child death figures come as leaders of G7 countries gather in Sicily, a major locus for the refugee and migrant crisis in Europe. The group of seven industrialized nations, which include the United States, Britain, France, Germany, Italy, and Canada, meet every year to further their economic goals. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
Contributing to UN peacekeeping efforts has been a positive thing for military and police officers from China, according to a senior official with the country's army. Major General Yang Chaoying is the acting force commander at the UN mission in South Sudan, UNMISS, where more than 1,000 Chinese blue helmets are serving. China has been a part of UN peacekeeping since 1990, and Major General Yang said the experience has benefited both Chinese uniformed personnel and the post-conflict countries where they have been deployed. Ahead of the International Day of United Nations Peacekeepers, observed on the 29th of May, the Major General told Mao Qili why peacekeeping matters to his country. He began by outlining some of the tasks performed by Chinese peacekeepers in South Sudan.
We have three contingents. That is the infantry battalion, the mechanical engineering unit, and the level 2 hospital. And they are having tasks like static duty to UN camps and the protection of civilian sites and the response to humanitarian assistances.
To what extent, in your opinion, is this a useful or positive experience for those peacekeepers?
It is more than 26 years since China began to contribute to UN peacekeeping missions. The experience of the many years show that contributing to UN peacekeeping missions is a very positive thing for the Chinese military as well. First, most of the UN missions are facing very difficult and challenging conditions and facing turbulent and complex security situations. In this kind of circumstances, the contingents that are contributed to the mission can actually get trained and practiced from a real war-like situation, and their ability to undertake tasks in complex situations have been greatly improved. On the other hand, participating in UN peacekeeping missions provided the soldiers the opportunity to get in close contact with officers and men from other countries. And this is very good for exchange, understanding, cooperation, and the increase of mutual trust.
Dolls made by Syrian women living in a UN-run refugee camp in Lebanon are being used to tell the stories and dreams of mothers and children left behind. They're part of a project named the Anna Collection, created by Marianne and Melina Musali, daughters of a Lebanese father and a Syrian mother. The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, says the initiative helps refugees open up to other communities in the Shatila camp, which was originally set up for Palestinian refugees. Michelle Alves de Lima reports.
The fish embroidered on the body of a doll called Manhal is meant to depict a little girl's fear of marine life. Although her family dreams of traveling, she is terrified of drowning at sea and being eaten by the fish, according to Amina, a 56-year-old Syrian refugee who's one of the 80 embroiderers in a project named the Anna Collection. Anna means I am in Arabic. The project uses art to expose the hidden pain of Syrians who remain inside a country ravaged by war. Amina tells the story of another doll that she stitched together by hand.
I embroidered this doll. Her name is Salma. When her son was asked what his dream was, he said his dream is to go back home and get married.
The creators of the project, Marianne and Melina Musali, collect the stories of ordinary Syrians with the help of a relative who remains in Syria. These tales, in turn, become sketches and are embroidered into cotton dolls by refugees in the Shatila camp. The stories that inspired the Anna Collection are written down on a small card that is later attached to each figure. The dolls are named after the person whose story is told, Marianne Musali explains.
People are very interested in the stories of the dolls. They know if they buy Salma the doll, they will be helping Salma, the refugee, and that the money they pay will go to this refugee. People are amazed by this idea.
UNHCR's public information officer in Lebanon, Dennis Lehman, says the project brings more than economic benefits to the Syrian refugees in the Shatila camp.
It also helps women feel that they're being useful to their families. It helps them create linkages in their own communities and make friends. And it helps them also open up to other communities, like, for example, in the instance of the Shatila camp, to the Palestinian community there, and also the Lebanese. It really opens their horizons and gives them a sense of purpose, which they didn't have prior to this initiative.
Each doll costs between $25 and $65, depending on its size. More than 1,500 dolls have been sold, and through them, 48 stories have been shared since the project was launched. Michelle Alves de Lima, United Nations.
You've been listening to today's news and features program from the United Nations in New York. I'm Deanne Penn. Thanks for listening.